Joining us right now is psychotherapist and ADHD coach Terry Matlin. Good to talk to you again, Terry.
Hey, Wendy. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I just want to get it out there that, yes, sometimes it might be overdiagnosed, but it is definitely a real thing, this ADHD. And I wanted to have you talk about it. I brought it up on the air last week, and a listener was saying, you know, oh, it's you're treating it like it's a disability. It really isn't a disability, but you do have to make accommodations in your life. And especially around the holidays, it's hard to stay organized. Would you agree with that?
I would say very definitely so. There's so much going on during the holidays, and if you have ADHD, it's even harder. If you don't have ADHD, it can be difficult. If you have ADHD, just multiply that by sometimes a million for many people.
And you do need a diagnosis. There are various medications. There are stimulants. There are non-stimulant medication. And I've gotten a few trickles of texts saying, you know, I have clothes in my dryer for over a week. I just can't get motivated. What should I do? There's not really a cut and dry answer for that, is there?
No, because no two people with ADHD are alike. There are some people who do the laundry extremely well. They find it satisfying. They find it calming. So, and other people, like what you just described, have a really, and I'm one of those, have a really tough time with just keeping up with laundry, household chores, projects at work. So it's really hard to say, you know, if you do this, then this will help you.
Now, do you think it's overdiagnosed?
I think that it's both. I think that it's sometimes overdiagnosed, but also underdiagnosed. We are hearing a lot about women with ADHD who are suddenly getting diagnosed because they are beginning to recognize themselves when they hear, you know, like the radio show right now, or reading things on social media that, maybe it's me. Maybe that's what my struggles are about. So they're coming in, in a bigger way than I've ever seen, and I've been in the ADHD world for over 25 years. But again, yeah, it can also be overdiagnosed because there's a lot of clinicians who don't understand how ADHD presents.
Here's something that I have heard, and it's not a one-size-fits-all condition, because I've heard that typically girls are underdiagnosed because typically, they don't have the hyperactive part. They're kind of just maybe drifting off in class and looking somewhere else and daydreaming. I was more like the boys. I talked too much. I was, a whirling dervish. So it doesn't have to be that way for all girls, right?
Right, so we typically see girls who are more on the inattentive part of the diagnosis. I wouldn't say that your situation is rare, not by any means. The girls who are more hyperactive tend to act out in ways that are maybe different than boys who are hyperactive. So for girls, they might be the ones who are talking too much in class, just can't sit still, they're fidgeting like crazy. So what's interesting is you found a career that's great for people with ADHD because it's constantly changing. You don't get bored.
And that really is the key to all this. I've been talking with a couple people here at work, and it's not a mental disorder, correct? It's just about chemicals in the brain that... Please explain what ADHD is, 'cause...
Yeah, that's a tough one because I'm not an expert in brain chemicals, but there are differences in the brains of people with ADHD. We can see that on certain scans. There are some chemical differences in the brain. I can't really get into exactly what those are, but there are absolute differences in the ADHD brain compared to the non-ADHD brain. But it's tricky. I think we're still in the early stages of really being able to identify. So the way we diagnose as clinicians is through a rigorous conversation and some testing, a lot of checklists, but really understanding what are your difficulties, when did they begin, how long have you had them, and in what areas of your life do they impact you.
And my kids did something called CogMed, cognitive medicine or something. And it was, they had these electrodes hooked up to their heads and they would watch like this rocket take off. And they thought it was kind of fun. It didn't hurt them or anything. And one of my boys said it actually helped him, keeping his thoughts. But they did do like kind of an MRI type thing, and parts of the brain in people with ADHD are kind of asleep, and that's where stimulants sometimes wake that part of the brain up. Does that sound close?
That sounds right. It's interesting that stimulant medication works differently in brain people with an ADHD brain versus a non-ADHD brain. So for some who do not have ADHD, it does help with performance. But with someone with an ADHD brain, it does wake up the sleepy part, and it doesn't really make sense because it fires up parts of the brain that I really am not an expert in.
Right.
But we do see differences in how stimulants work with an ADHD brain versus non-ADHD. Now, I want to get to the CogMed thing. That's a cognitive training program which has mixed reviews, not just CogMed, but in general. These programs have very mixed reviews on whether they're effective, and they may be effective short-term, and I don't know how it worked for your son, but I'm seeing more about long-term results are kind of questionable.
Okay. It worked for one son and not the other, so that's interesting. We're going to take a break, and we do have some listeners who have some questions. I only bring this up because it's okay to have it. It's okay to talk about it, and I really would like to help someone listening today who may think, you know what, maybe I should make an appointment and maybe get an assessment. So Terry Matlin on the line with us, psychotherapist and ADHD coach. We'll tell you how to get in touch with her if you need to. And we're talking to Terry Matlin, psychotherapist and ADHD coach. Where's your website? Where should we send people, Terry?
My two main websites are addconsults.com, and then I have one that's launching specifically for women, and it's called powerfulwomenwithadhd.com.
Okay, we'll hit that again and put a link up there. All right, we have a caller who has a question for you. Kathy, this is Terry. How are you?
Hi, Wendy. I'm fine, thank you. And Terry, I'm glad to hear you on the radio. I have a question regarding ADD. I was diagnosed with that after the age of 50, and it was very similar to your experience, Wendy, recognizing that in your son. I did the same. I was an underachiever in grammar school, always probably tardy or not paying attention, just gazing out the window. So I did finally see a doctor. I was diagnosed with ADD. I don't have a hyper bone in my body. What is the difference, and are they treated similarly?
That's a great question. So in the old days, which would have been maybe 15 years ago and more, they separated ADD diagnoses from ADHD. So like what you're describing, ADD would be more the inattentive, not the hyperactive. The ones who were hyperactive were called ADHD. Nowadays, we combine it, and so the formal term for all of it is ADHD.
There you have it. So you don't have the hyper end. You know, it's funny, I don't really either, in the sense of, like, physical hyperactivity, but I can't lay out on a lounge chair in the summer. I have to get up and, you know, swim or do something. I can't just relax. And I've talked to you before, Terry, and the worst thing that people could say to me, and my mom said it to me a lot growing up, is you're lazy. Not lazy, just putting things off till the last minute because you need some urgency to get you to do a project. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so we would in the business call it procrastinating, not lazy. We always omit the word lazy because it's so pejorative, and a lot of people carry a lot of shame with their ADHD diagnosis. And I'm so glad you're having this segment because I've been working all my professional life trying to destigmatize ADHD. So by saying you can't relax, I would say that every person with ADHD or ADD, however you want to call it, has a hyperactive brain. So your body might be the type where, you know, you can lounge for hours on a hammock in the sun, but I would probably guarantee that your brain is going a million miles away. So procrastination is due because there's something called executive functioning, and every person with ADHD has difficulties with executive functioning in their brain. What that basically means, a very watered-down version of that, is how to get from A to B and from B to C. It's planning. It's knowing where to go at the next step. What steps does it take? How many steps does it take? That's why the holidays are so difficult. What do you do first? Do you write out holiday cards or do you buy a turkey? You know, it's really hard to figure it out. And so everyone is impaired at some level with executive functioning. So getting started, that procrastinating is often about, well, where do I start? Do I have what I need to get something done? Do I have the energy level to do it? Did I have enough sleep? Do I have, the motivation? Is it a boring task at work that I just don't want to deal with? We don't like to be bored. Boring tasks are our nemesis.
And, you know, it's called attention deficit, but it should be called attention surplus, because when you're focusing on something you really enjoy doing, you hyper-focus on that.
Exactly. You're spot on. So kids and adults alike, once we find something we like, so a lot of parents might say, oh, my kid doesn't have ADHD. They can play video games for 3 hours, 4 hours. It's because they're interested in it. So the same for adults. Adults might get lost on social media for hours at a time with an ADHD diagnosis because it takes their interest, and you fly with it.
Yeah.
Or a project that you're working on is really, you know, something that you enjoy doing, so you can stick with it for a very long time. That's what you're right. It's hyper-focused.
847, as a teacher who has ADHD, it absolutely is a disability. Your thoughts on this, Terry? Because I don't feel it is a disability for me.
Okay, so legally it can be considered a disability if it impairs your life to the point where you're not functioning at a level that helps you do what you need to do on a daily basis. If it weren't considered a disability, we wouldn't have laws out there for people who are so disabled by their ADHD because, like I said earlier, everyone has a different flavor of ADHD. It can be mild, it can be severe, and everything in between. If you're, for instance, at a job and you can't keep up with your paperwork or get to work on time, you're disabled by your ADHD. And we have rules, laws, and so on, accommodations to protect us from getting fired, or if you're in school, from flunking out of school. So it really depends on how you look at it. From a personal viewpoint, for you, it's not a disability. You're doing very well with your ADHD. You found the right match for you. For someone else, they might be just floundering and failing and getting fired from job after job. In that case, I would call it a disability.
All right, so it can be. Give us your website again, because this happens all the time that I talk to you, Terry. There are a million questions and not enough time. So,
sure, thank you. It's my main website is addconsults.com, and my second, which is very specific to women, is powerfulwomenwithadhd.com.
All right, real quickly, can ADHD develop any time during a person's lifetime, or do you either have it or you don't?
In general terms, you're born with it. In some situations, you can acquire it. I don't think we even use that term anymore, but it used to be called acquired ADHD, and that's where you see it from, say, a brain injury, if you're in a terrible car crash or you have a virus that affects your central nervous system and it can affect your brain. But in general, you're born with it. It's highly genetic.
And the best place to go, there are, again, so many questions that I am so sorry we don't have time to get to. Terry, we'll have you on again, but the best place would be start with your general practitioner or a psychiatrist. What do you recommend?
I actually recommend that you start with your, general practitioner, because certain medical conditions can look very much like ADHD. For example, low thyroid or high overactive thyroid can look like ADHD, even allergies. So start with your primary care or your pediatrician if you're looking at your child. And then going from there, I would go to see, I would say, a psychologist or someone in mental health who specializes, who has a lot of experience in ADHD, especially as an adult, because there's not a lot of us out there that really work with adults. And I can't tell you how many times women have come to me and said, I've been diagnosed with depression. I've been put on antidepressants. I'm not getting any more organized or calmer or anything because these folks are just not trained enough in the area of ADHD.
And you can have many things along with your ADHD as well. Terry, I hope you remember to have a good holiday.
I love it. Thanks again for having me, Wendy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll have you on again. addconsults.com.